الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
صفیں سیدھی رکھیں موبائل فون بند کر لیں مل مل کر ساتھ ہی کھڑے ہو جائیں اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر سمیع اللہ لمن حمدہ اللہ اکبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. إن شاء الله بقية نماز کے بعد جیسے اعلان ہوا تھا کل جمعے میں زکوٰۃ کے بارے میں پروگرام ہوگا اور زکوٰۃ کے مسائل, چونکہ یہاں ان ممالک میں تقریباً ہر ایک پر زکوٰۃ فرض ہو جاتی ہے, اتنا اللہ نے دیا ہوا ہوتا ہے, تو ان کے مسائل سیکھنا یہ بھی ضروری ہیں اور فرض ہیں, تو اس پروگرام میں بھی شرکت کریں اور دوسرا یہ کہ رمضان کا بابرکت مہینہ ہے اور اس میں آپ حضرات جس طرح جانی عبادت میں لگے ہوئے ہیں، الحمدللہ ہر دن آپ حضرات کو اللہ توفیق دیتا ہے کہ آپ اللہ کے دیے ہوئے مال میں سے آپ خرچ کرتے رہتے ہیں، ہر دن کوئی نہ کوئی آتا ہے، اس پر اللہ کا شکر ادا کرنا چاہیے کہ آپ کو اللہ پاک نے دینے والا بنایا ہے، لینے والا نہیں بنایا. اور حدیث میں ہے ید العلیا خیر من ید السفلی، دینے والا ہاتھ بہتر ہے لینے والے ہاتھ سے. تو یہ اللہ کا دیا ہوا ہوتا ہے، تو اس میں سے 2.5% ضروری ہے اور یہ حق ہے غرباء کا، اور آپ یہ ہر دن اللہ کے راستے میں اور دنیا کے مختلف ممالک میں یہ آپ کا تعاون پہنچتا ہے، اس پر اللہ کا شکر ادا کرنا چاہیے. آج اسی سلسلے میں رمضان میں ایک دن آپ کے سامنے میں اپیل کرتا ہوں، اور آپ حضرات الحمدللہ دل کھول کر تعاون کرتے ہیں، اور یہ جو 2.5% زکوٰۃ کی صورت یا صدقۃ الفطر کی صورت میں جو پیسہ ہوتا ہے، یہ غرباء کا حق ہوتا ہے. انما الصدقات للفقراء والمساکین، صدقات اور زکوٰۃ یہ غرباء اور مساکین کا حق ہے. تو یہ ہمارا علاقہ نہایت ہی پسماندہ علاقہ ہے، مختلف سینکڑوں گاؤں ہیں، تو ان میں جو جو مستحق فیملی ہوتی ہے، بعض میں ایسی فیملیاں بھی ہیں کہ یتیم بچے ہیں، یا بعض ایسی فیملیاں ہیں کہ سربراہ بیمار ہے یا ایسی حالت میں ہے کہ کام کاج نہیں کر سکتا، تو جو آپ زکوٰۃ دیتے ہیں وہ کیش کی صورت میں ان تک پہنچا دی جاتی ہے، جیسی آپ کی زکوٰۃ، اور سال بھر ان فیملیوں کا خرچہ ہو جاتا ہے. ایک فیملی کا تقریباً 15,000 کے حساب سے ماہوار، تو یہ 480 پاؤنڈ بنتے ہیں، تو یہ پورے سال کا خرچہ بن جاتا ہے. تو آپ نے زکوٰۃ دینی ہوتی ہے، تو ہر سال کی طرح اس سال بھی امید ہے کہ انشاءاللہ آپ تعاون کریں گے. گھروں میں ماؤں بہنوں سے بھی درخواست ہے کہ اگلی نمازوں میں یا تراویح میں ابھی ساتھی نہیں لائے تو وہ اپنا تعاون ضرور لائیں. اور دوسرا یہ کہ راشن ہر سال ہم وہاں پیکج کی صورت میں یہ تقسیم کرتے ہیں، اس سال بھی ہم نے رمضان سے پہلے تقریباً 100 فیملیوں کو دیا ہے، اور ہر سال ہمارا 200 سے 250 فیملیوں تک یہ ٹارگٹ ہوتا ہے، اور وہ ہر سال انتظار میں ہوتے ہیں. تو اس صورت میں بھی آپ تعاون کریں. 40 پاؤنڈ ہیں ایک فیملی کا. ابھی رمضان تو آدھا گزر چکا ہے، آگے آدھا رمضان باقی ہے، کچھ رمضان میں ہو جائے گا اور کچھ عید پہ یا عید کے بعد ان کے لیے راشن کی صورت میں آ جائے گا، تو ہمارا ایک افطاری کا خرچ ان کا پورے مہینہ کا راشن بن جائے گا. تو انشاءاللہ یہ آپ کا تعاون رائیگاں نہیں جائے گا. اللہ کے نبی فرماتے ہیں کہ یبن آدم انفق انفق علی، کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کا ارشاد ہے کہ اے آدم کے اولاد، تم میرے بندوں پر خرچ کرو، میں اپنے خزانوں میں سے تم پر خرچ کرتا رہوں گا. تو جاتے ہوئے اور اگلی نمازوں میں عشاء میں ساتھی ضرور اس طرح تعاون کرے. الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والعاقبۃ للمتقین، والصلاۃ والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین. ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنا وفی الآخرۃ حسنا وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنۃ مع الابرار یا عزیز یا غفار یا رب العالمین. آمین آمین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.
Inshallah, the brief zakat presentation will take place, inshallah, in English and Urdu as well. Brothers requested to participate, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Alhamdulillah, this Zakat workshop we do every Ramadan. With Zakat, because there's so much detail and so much discussion, so inshallah I don't like to make it too overcomplicated, because if you start talking too much about all pensions and shares and different types of Zakat and different things, a lot of things are not relevant to a lot of people. So inshallah, I've just got a presentation which I found, I will use that as a base. I'll just try and mention the main masail. So, Baji upstairs, if you just, when you're flicking through the slides, there will be different slides. I'm just kind of, I'll just tell you to ignore them so you can just flick through them. If anyone does have any questions in relation to that, inshallah, they can ask that and then maybe we'll go on the slide, or maybe I'll just explain it. If you have a detailed question, feel free to ask. I always want it to be a more of a kind of interactive session, because otherwise if I'm just saying all this theoretical things that we don't understand, then we don't really, it's not very beneficial for us. We can't take much back with us. So whatever, you know, any question that comes to your mind, even if it sounds simple, I've had Zakat presentations, we've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years, where after the presentation finishes, people ask me a question that I answered right on the first slide. So it's fine, like it's okay. You know, if you're confused about something, if it doesn't make, for some people, this is the first talk ever they're sitting in regards to Zakat. Many of us don't know nothing about Zakat. We hear about Salah all the time, Salah, because you've got to read Namaz on a daily basis. ہمارے لوگوں کو نماز کے بارے میں کچھ نہ کچھ مسائل کا علم ہے, لیکن زکوٰۃ کے بارے میں بالکل ہمارے پاس کچھ بھی نہیں, چونکہ سال میں صرف ایک ہی دفعہ زکوٰۃ دینی ہوتی ہے. تو زکوٰۃ اینڈ حج ٹو ابلیگیشنز دیٹ سیڈلی وی ہیو ویری لٹل نالج اینڈ انفارمیشن ان ریگارڈز ٹو. سو برادرز, وین ایور یو ہیو اینی کوشچنز فیل فری ٹو آسک. سسٹرز فرام اپ اسٹیئرز, اف یو ہیو اینی کوشچن یو کین آسک آور اپا ہو از دیئر, اینڈ اپا اف دیئرز اینی کوشچنز دیٹ یو can't answer and you want to send downstairs and ask me, you can just always just message it downstairs and I'll be looking at it inshallah and answering. There's a car, Toyota MX 1919 CEE. It's just blocking some other cars off. So if that's anyone's car, Toyota MX 1919 CEE, please just park it a little bit properly inshallah. Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in roughly 32 places mentions the word zakat. And Allah ta'ala makes 15 references to sadaqah. In the Qur'an, for example, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Establish salah and give zakat and prostrate with those who prostrate and bow with those who bow. And many other ayat which are there. Some, you know, scholars have just listed all the ayat in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala mentions zakat. It's a fariḍa, it's obligatory action. In the hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions five things are such that the entirety of Islam is built on them. That's why we call them five pillars. Buniyal Islam wa ala khamsin. Five things Islam has been built upon. One of them is wa ita is zakah, giving the zakat. So it's not some, you know, something obscure thing, abstract thing that I can just, oh yeah, just give some money. But I need to gain the knowledge of it. The same way anything that is fard upon me, like salah is fard upon me, it is fard upon me to gain the knowledge of that thing. In the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Talab al-ilmi fariḍa." The gaining of knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. Whatever is fard to gain the knowledge of that. Whatever is sunnah to gain the knowledge of that. Whatever is wajib, wajib to gain the knowledge of that, and so on and so forth. So it is fard for us to gain the basic and the minimum ilm regarding zakat. And then beyond that, whatever situation applies to us, we need to know. Someone's at work, they've got a pension pot, they need to know, do I give zakat or not? Someone's investing, a lot of people are investing nowadays. Do I give zakat or my invest? People have Bitcoin, although the scholars talk, still mention that you should not invest in Bitcoin because there's a lot of grey areas and question marks as to whether it is permissible or not. However, somebody already has Bitcoin, do you give zakat on that or not? Where there's a grey area, you have to give zakat. If some wealth that you have is haram, is clear cut haram, there's no zakat in that. Because haram wealth, there's no owner. Haram wealth, you are not the owner. You can only give zakat on something that you own. Kisi ke paas koi haram maal ho, is pe zakat nahi hoga, kyunki ye is maal ka malik nahi hai. Maal ka malik sirf us waqt hota hai jab ye maal halal ho. So, but if they say wealth which is grey area, like Bitcoin is a grey area. Some scholars say it's permissible, some say it's not, some say a lot more research needed to be done. There's so much irregularities and so much kind of research needed into it. So, we will still give zakat on it if we do have Bitcoins. But the fatwa is, from scholars who have done research, that don't invest in Bitcoin, don't invest in cryptocurrency at all, because there's just so much. And if you look deeper behind it, there is a lot of validity behind why those ulama say that just leave cryptocurrency entirely out. It's there's a lot of, you know, plans behind the scenes, let's put it that way, in regards to cryptocurrency and the way that people will be affected by cryptocurrency. Allah knows best. Anyway, in the one hadith, look, in the Quran, there's one ayah, very strong ayah, very powerful ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those people who just hoard their wealth, they store their wealth, they don't give it in charity. Everything else is a need. Because look, this year zakat is a lot of money for a lot of people this year. Because the gold and silver prices have gone up. For some people, zakat is okay. Some people are under the bar. But those sisters, etc., who have, you know, gold and silver and this and that, zakat is very expensive. Women folk have a lot of gold, etc. They think, oh, do I need to give it? Or maybe leave it. It's not a big deal. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, those people who hold on to gold and silver and they don't spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them news of a terrible عذاب which will befall them. يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا. All of that wealth will be melted and put together. فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. And they will be stamped on their foreheads and on their backs. هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. This is the wealth that you hoarded for yourself in the world. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. So today taste it. And in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that person who had wealth, but he did not give his charity from his wealth, he did not give zakat from the wealth, on the day of Qiyamah, مُثِّلَ لَهُ شُجَاعٌ أَقْرَى. It will come in the form of a huge serpent, and it will wrap itself around him, and it will continue to bite him, and it will say, أَنَا كَنْزُوكَ أَنَا مَالُوكَ أَنَا كَنْزُوكَ أَنَا مَالُوكَ. I'm your wealth, I'm your wealth, I'm your treasure. The money that you kept and you didn't want to give in charity, you thought, I'll just save. So it's very important, firstly, we have to have a giving mentality. Whatever we learn today, and wherever we have any questions about zakat, always err on the side of caution. Give. Don't think, oh no, but I need it for this, I need it for that. If it's zakat, then it's an obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your needs from elsewhere. Don't think, oh, I'm going to hold on to my zakat and then I'll fulfill my needs. No, we can never fulfill our needs by doing something which is haram, by disobeying Allah ta'ala. Similarly, when people have haram wealth, say, I've got this haram because I really need to. I'm desperate. I've got this situation, that situation. Never, haram will never give benefit. It will always bring harms. Immediately we will see harms as well. And in the long term, we will see great harms. And it's always because of haram wealth. So I will try and just quickly go through this, inshallah. So I'm just going to mention which slide number I'm on, Raji, so you can just go along with it, inshallah. So I'm on slide number 5. So zakat is an act of worship, not a fine. This is very important. This is the mentality I'm trying to mention that we need to have. The zakat is an act of worship. Just yesterday, my wife was mentioning about zakat is going to be this much, it's going to be this much. It's like, oh, that's a huge amount of zakat that we need to give. The reality is, we just give it. It's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just give it. Even if it means, you can't do certain other plans or other things are impacted and affected. For example, if I've made the intention to go for Hajj and I've got a Hajj fund, I've got to give zakat in the Hajj fund, right? You've got to give zakat on it. You've got money which is saved as a pot which you're planning to do something with in the future. You haven't yet done it. You've got to give zakat on it. Even if it's something you're going to do in a week, even if it's something you're going to do in 2 weeks, you've got to give zakat on that fund if it's your zakat date. We'll get to that, inshallah. It's an act of worship, not a punishment. Whenever we regard deen to be burdensome, then sadly, we are always struggling. We're always complaining, always moaning. When a person says, you know what, my Allah, this is all my Allah is asking of me, 2.5% of my wealth, I'll give it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give so much back. The Sahaba, subhanallah, stories of one Sahabi, when the zakat collector came, and the zakat collector would come, and Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought this in Riyadu Salihin, authentic hadith. The zakat collector came to get his wealth, and in those days zakat collectors would come, and the zakat collector said, you know what, you just need to give this little animal there. He said, what are you going to do with the animal? It doesn't even give any milk. You can't even ride on it. It's not fit for any purpose. No, I want you to take this one. And he brought his best, you know, animal that is his pride and joy. He said, take this one. So the zakat collector said, look, I can't do it. I can't take what you're not owing. You know, what's not due. He said, no, I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to give you this animal. That one's too inferior. I want you to take the best one. Zakat is a purifier. I want to purify my wealth in the best way. Take my best animal. So he said, I know what to do. Let's go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this whole situation was explained. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He was very happy. He said, look, it's not due upon you. Well, if you want, we will take it and we will give it. But it's not due on you. You just need to give that one. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I happily and willingly want to give this. This is how the Sahaba would think, that zakat purifies my wealth, purifies my wealth. Give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give back. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Who is there that will give Allah a loan and Allah will repay it back, you know, many, many, many times in return. One should look forward to paying zakat, as it will be a means of purification, blessing and great reward. That this is the time of the year when inshallah my wealth becomes pak saf. My wealth becomes purified for the next year. So alhamdulillah, I'll do whatever I need to do. You know, get a cleaner to clean the windows, get someone to clean the patio, we'll pay money. Everything looks nice and clean. And so this is my wealth becoming clean and pure for the next year. Always adopt a more cautious approach. Like I said, err on the side of caution. احتیاط کی پہلو ہر وقت ہم اختیار کریں. When we're not sure, always give a bit extra. Always give a bit extra. Another principle, that which is most beneficial with the for the poor will be applied when working with zakat. We always look at what is anfa' lil fuqara. So even when it comes to nisab, I will talk about it. Always, how will the poor people benefit more? So if it means that someone has to give zakat, a bit more zakat so the poor people will benefit, that is what the fuqaha will say, this is what the scholars will say, this is what we do, because zakat is the right of the poor people. So that we will take into consideration the state of the poor people. Who is zakat obligatory on? Slide number 8. On whom is zakat obligatory? 4 conditions. We have to be sane. The person has to have mental sanity. You have to be an adult over the age of puberty. What's the age of puberty? When a person sees any of the signs of puberty, or for a child, if they reach the age of 15. They reach the age of 15 and they haven't seen any signs of puberty, you will still say they are baligh, they're the age of 15. But remember, 15 is in the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar, 15. So in the Gregorian calendar, it's basically about 14 and a half, something like that, right? About 14 and a half. If you're about 14 and a half, and you meet all these other criteria, then you will have to give zakat. So it's important that parents educate, teachers educate, we ourselves educate. If a child has a huge amount of savings, they need to be giving zakat on it. They have to be Muslim, of course, and zakat, this is the next and most important criteria, they have to reach the nisab limit, the zakat threshold. Someone asked me this yesterday, when do you give zakat? So just tell me in a nutshell, when do you give zakat? So you give zakat when, this is the answer he was looking for, nisab. Your wealth has to reach the nisab threshold. So one which must meet the nisab threshold at the start and end of the lunar year. So if I've reached the age of puberty now, for example, now my wealth has gone over the nisab threshold, or when I reached the age of puberty, my wealth was over the nisab threshold, I will wait 1 lunar year from now till next year. So let's say 15, a child's become baligh. Now, when they become baligh, their wealth is already over the nisab threshold, they will wait out an entire year till next year. Now next year on the same date, they will check, are they still over the nisab threshold? If they are, they give zakat. If they're not, they don't. If they're not, then they don't. The whole year, hawlanul hawl, the whole year has to pass. In that year, any fluctuations don't matter. So imagine this is the nisab threshold. I'll get to what the nisab threshold is today and today's rate as well. Imagine this is the nisab threshold of wealth. Let's say £1,000. £1,000 is nisab threshold. If you have £1,000, you have to give zakat. Now someone, on the 1st of Ramadan, on the 1st of Ramadan, 1444, I think 1445, 1446 now. 47 now. So we're 1446, on the 1st of Ramadan, they were on £1,000. Now, 1447, the 1st of Ramadan, if they're under £1,000, nisab threshold is £1,000, if they're under £1,000, they don't give zakat. They don't give zakat. Regardless of if in that year they went to 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, 100,000, but it dropped before their next anniversary, called zakat anniversary, they don't have to give zakat. So fluctuations. But if it was high, you know, higher than the nisab threshold on their zakat anniversary, then they will give zakat. The only time when the whole thing will reset is if your wealth totally finishes. If you're nothing, basically, if you've got nothing, zero, which rarely happens, right? If you've got zero, then your zakat anniversary will reset. Now, next time you go over the nisab threshold, it'll be a new zakat dates. You will calculate from there. Does that make sense? Inshallah, not to worry too much about.
So if first of Ramadan in 1446, you were on Nisab. First of Ramadan 1447, this is Ramadan, you're below the Nisab. But that means next day, if you over the Nisab, will your anniversary still be Ramadan?
It will continue. It will continue until you hit zero. If you hit zero, then you will only start when your wealth is above the Nisab again. On a new date that the wealth is above Nisab, that will be your new Zakat anniversary. We'll continue in this cycle. So you'll just keep checking every year how you're doing on the Zakat anniversary day. Ask me questions. Inshallah, whatever questions you have, ask me. Because there's things that won't come to my mind. So Nisab, what is meant by Nisab? There are two types of Nisab. So here, remember the principle we mentioned at the start. We will always go off what is more beneficial to the poor people. Anfa'al al-fuqara. There's a gold nisab and there's a silver nisab. Now the gold nisab, in the hadith it mentions 20 mithqal. Whoever has 20 mithqals worth of gold, 20 mithqals weight of gold, they have to give zakat. So 20 mithqals, the scholars say, is equivalent to modern day 87.48 grams of gold. 87.48 grams of gold. That's 20 mithqals, that's the gold nisab. Silver nisab is if somebody had, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 200 dirhams. Dirham was a silver coin anyway. Whoever had 200 dirhams, they would give zakat upon that. But the equivalent of that in weight is 612.36 grams of silver. Now you've got two nisabs, gold nisab, you've got silver nisab. Now if somebody's only got gold, you've got some ladies, some sisters, maybe she has no wealth, she's got no money. Or maybe she's in debt. But what she does have a lot of is gold. Lots of gold. Our Asians all have gold, right? A lot of people, especially Pakistanis and Bangladeshi, we've got loads of gold, right? Women folk. So they've got gold. Now, if she's got no other cash or currency or silver or anything like that, then she will only give zakat based on gold nisab. If someone only has silver but no gold, like males probably, we don't have gold, then they will base it only off silver nisab. If they've got a mix of gold and silver, then they will go off silver nisab. Then they will go after silver nisab. So this is what I haven't checked. Today's nisab for gold and silver.
£2.24 per gram.
So what's the nisab?
1365.
Mona, say which site are you using? Wifaq al-Ulama. Wifaq al-Ulama is a very good site to use. Darul Fiqh generally was a good one, but recently I've seen they're not updating their numbers. But Wifaq al-Ulama is perfect. So Marana, what number did you say? 1365.56. Marana is saying that is the nisab today's rate. Remember, we've got to check every day because gold and silver prices fluctuate every day, especially in nowadays market, they're going all over the place.
If someone has gold and silver, but they don't have any cash, it's just that asset, how do they pay that zakat?
They will have to, you can give zakat in cash, you can give zakat in kind. So either they can sell some of their gold or silver and they can give cash instead, or they can give in kind, anything else that they have. Someone's, I don't know, we possibly might not apply, someone's a farmer or something, they've got, you know, different grains and crops and this and that, and they distribute that to the poor people, they can do it that way. Zakat can be given in cash, it can be given in kind. You can either give money to the poor person or you can give food to the poor person. So you do, so however you do that. What's the gold in Nisab, Marana? 11,000. So look at the gold prices are really, really high. 11,000 and something, right? So if we just based off gold nisab, a lot of people would not be giving zakat. And I'll explain why. If someone says, well, I've got £11,000 in my account, there are other things that you deduct. When it comes to giving zakat, there are deductions that you make. So possibly when you make those deductions, you're not going to read 11,000 that you've got left over. So that's why we go off silver nisab. We go off silver nisab that Marana mentioned, 1,365 pounds. But you have to have a zakat anniversary date. Jay, we have to have a zakat anniversary date. Okay. It's just coming up. Okay, did we understand the anniversary date? So it just is based on the start. As soon as you've ever in your life gone over the Nisab threshold, in your life, you've gone over the Nisab threshold, now that's your anniversary. That's your anniversary. Next year, this time, you're going to have to check. And the only time that anniversary will change is if you basically have lost all your money. Not just dipped under the nisab. Someone says, well, I dipped under the nisab. Like, look at this, if you can see this graph on the screen. Now, somebody was above the nisab threshold. I'm on slide number 10, by the way, Baji. Someone's above the nisab threshold, right? Now, through the year, they dip. Their money goes below the nisab. They're on, if we're taking today's nisab rate as 1,300, they go below £1,000. It doesn't matter as long as they're not on zero. If they still have some money, if they have £100, they will still check at the end of the year to see what they're doing. Now, at the end of the year, whatever money have they have on their date, they will give zakat upon that. Whatever money they have on the date. Now, on the date, for example, if today is my date of zakat, right? My zakat anniversary. Now, yesterday, I just got £10,000 from somewhere. Today, I've got to give money on that zakat on that £10,000. If yesterday I spent £10,000 somewhere, today I don't have to give zakat on that £10,000. So that's why you have to be so particular about dates. And we should be based off the lunar calendar. As I mentioned before as well, the lunar calendar, because it's more accurate, every year will stay the same. With the Gregorian calendar, or the solar calendar, what will happen is, it will change every year, it will fluctuate. There's going to be a longer period that you're not paying zakat. And then what will happen is, you possibly, after every like 30 years or something like that, you will miss a year of zakat. You'll miss it. So don't base it off September, or I give it in September, or I give it in June. Base it off the lunar calendar.
So let's say I gave it last year on the 27th Ramadan.
Okay.
This year, I'll give it on the 17th Ramadan, because it's 355 days in the lunar. Is that right?
But you still give it on the 27th. Fix it on the 27th. If you give zakat early before the 27th, that's fine. You can give zakat early, you can give zakat later. You don't have to give it on the day. But on that day, you have to do your calculation. The calculation has to be done based on that day. You understand? So you can give zakat early if you want. I can give zakat at the start of the year if I want. But that's my date. So when it comes to that date, I'm going to calculate. Now, if I've given too less, I've got to top it up. If I've given too much, then alhamdulillah, that's good. Right? Or I can put that towards next year. If I've given too much, I can put that towards next year's zakat. I can do that. That's also allowed. Right. Slide 11, that we just saw that one. Slide 12. If a person cannot remember the date when they first reached the nisab, they should make an estimate. They should just guess. Like, I think it was this date, and just fix a date. Basically, just fix a date. Fix a date. If you don't know at all, you're just totally in the dark, you don't know, you were giving zakat for many years of your life or whatever it was, you fix a date. But remember, if you didn't give zakat for many years of your life, you have to backdate. You have to give all those years. You have to make up for them. You have to backdate them. It doesn't have to be Ramadan. People give Ramadan because it's a month of giving and it's easy to remember. But it doesn't have to be. Whichever date that you stipulate and fix, that's the date that you follow. What type of wealth is zakat obligatory on? Cash, gold and silver, and here is mentioned an important point. Item must be 50% or more of gold. Now here, there's a difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha. If something is less than 50% gold, I think 9 carat gold is about 37.5 grams. And 50% gold, I think, is 12 carats. 12 carats, isn't it? Because 24% gold is pure 100% gold. Most jewelry, if they say it's pure gold, it's 22 carats. It's not actually pure, it's 90%. If the item, the gold thing, it has more than 50% gold, you will give zakat on the whole thing, right? Ring or bangles or necklace or whatever it is. If it has less than 50% gold, then you will only give zakat on the gold percentage, right? But it's easier just to weigh it, because they don't really weigh, it won't be such a huge difference. Or if it is, then you can always just give slightly less. Do you understand? So if it's more than 50% gold, you have to regard the whole thing as gold. If it's less than 50% gold, you only give zakat on the percentage of gold which is upon it. So jewelers can normally tell you, this has got this much percent gold and this much percent whatever the metal is in it. Any questions, boys, feel free to shout out and ask me. Harun, okay? If there's something we're not understanding, not clear, and I'm speaking fast, my throat is very sore. If there's anything that you want to ask, please feel free to ask. There's no zakat on different metals. There's no zakat on diamonds. And someone's got expensive diamond ring. Right, the diamond ring is much more expensive than all the other jewellery. There's no zakat on the diamond. If it's a diamond ring which is gold ring and then diamond stone, they'll give zakat on the gold ring, but not on the diamond stone. Okay, So we need to weigh the item, find the price for gold, silver per gram. Maran has mentioned the silver price per gram. But, so what we'll do is, with the sisters, they will take their gold to the jewelers, get it all measured and weighed, and then base it off that. Merchandise for business, business stock, businessmen, if you've got business goods which you've bought to sell. Business goods is something that you bought to sell. I'm a phone seller. Even if I sell second-hand phones, I buy second-hand phones to sell. I need to give zakat on those phones. How do I do it? Market value. What's the market value of those phones? I give zakat on that. Right. So if you buy stock just for selling, you give zakat on that. But if you had something, someone owns three properties, they didn't buy them to sell. But all of a sudden they change their mind and say, I want to sell all three of my houses. They don't need to give zakat, because they didn't buy those houses to sell. If they bought properties to sell, they will give zakat. Okay? Any questions, just ask inshallah. Livestock.
What if they bought properties to rent out?
If they bought properties to rent out, they're not going to give zakat on the property value, but just on the rental income itself. The rental income, they will add to their total pot of income, and they will give zakat on that. Livestock is basically animals, cattle, sheep, etc. There's a whole nisab for that, but that's all like farmers and people who have that, so generally we don't. If you do, you can always see him later, inshallah. He'll tell you how many sheep you need to give. Money owed to you. So we're on slide 15. Now here there's got these categories of strong debt, medium debt, weak debt. I don't want to go into it too much. But look, zakatable assets that are given on loan. If you've given anyone any money on loan, generally, or you've given gold and silver on loan, you need to be giving zakat on that every year. You've lent someone money, you need to be giving zakat on that every year. You have to, it doesn't matter how many years. Unless you're certain that person is never going to pay you back. If you're certain that person will never pay you back, then you don't give zakat. But if you know they're going to pay you back, or there's ghalib guman and there's, you know, increased likelihood of them paying you back, high likelihood chance of them paying you back, then you must give zakat on that. Now the way to do it either is, imagine it's a huge sum. Now you can't afford to give zakat on that every single year. Either you can wait for that money to come back, and then you'll have to backdate the zakat. You'll have to give the last few years. Or you can just give it in advance. But zakat is a faridah. It's not something that you want to delay, you want to defer. But in this case, it's allowed. So for example, if I lent out lots of money and I passed away in that time and I didn't get my money back, I will not be asked for the zakat of that, because it wasn't in my hand. Although the zakat was fard on me, but it's a deferred fard. It's a deferred fard. It's something that I could do later on. But if it was in my hand and I didn't pay it back, and I didn't give zakat on it, then I will be asked for it. Merchandise has been sold and the payment is outstanding. A businessman or someone sells something and they haven't yet received the payment for it, they must give zakat on that, because they know that that is strong debt, that is something, money that is definitely coming in, right? I sold my phone, the person hasn't transferred the funds yet, but I know it's coming in, my zakat date hits, I've got to give zakat on that, on those funds. Medium debt is mentioned here, money owed from the sale of a non-zakat. I'm just going to leave the medium debt out, just leave it out for now. Weak debt. Now weak debt is something you only give zakat on it once you have it. Weak debt is something you only give zakat. Like strong debt, you've got to give zakat on even if it's not in your hands. I've lent Brother Nurullah, you know, or Brother Nurullah rather, has lent me £5,000 to borrow. Now Brother Nurullah knows, inshallah, you know, he'll pay it back. So every year he's going to be paying zakat on that until I pay him back. So that's strong debt. You know that you have a strong feeling that the person's going to pay you back. Weak debt is something, like for these type of things, you don't have any connection with it until it comes to you. For example, outstanding wages. Outstanding wages, you're supposed to be paid on Friday. Friday is your zakat day. Yesterday, Friday was my zakat day, but there's some delays in the banking or whatever, and I get paid on Saturday. Now, I don't need to calculate those wages with my zakat calculations on Friday. Similarly, loan, like I mentioned before, I've lent someone money and I know for sure they're not going to pay it back. I don't need to give zakat on that. Similar things like dowry. Dowry, the wife does not have to pay zakat on the dowry until she gets it. Once she gets it, she gives it. Right. Backdating, I don't go too much into calculations. He's just going to break it down. Let's just see an example. So he says year one. So we'll just leave the calculation. We understand it, right? You've got to take 2.5% 2.5% of whatever you had on your zakat anniversary date, you gotta pay that. Even on your back date, 2.5% of last year's zakat anniversary. I don't remember what my last year's zakat anniversary was. Well, then err on the side of caution, give a bit extra. You have a rough idea. Did I have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, 5,000? Err on the side of caution. Remember, zakat of £1,000 is only £25. Zakat on £1,000 is only £25. So pay £50. If you're not sure if you had another grand or not, just give £50, err on the side of caution. See? I'm just going to go through quickly. Zakat on merchandise. Any of you have any questions about zakat? Any businessmen? Zakat on business stock, we have any questions about? Go ahead. So.
The business debt is not coming.
Yeah.
And from the last 2 years, it's not coming. It's not sure about that. Still have to liable to pay in this.
Yeah, it's.
You have a stock, you have a loan, you have a business loan, you have a creditor, you have some stock, but the back debts is more than everything.
Huh. If your back debts, again, these are people that owe you money.
Yeah.
They owe you money, not that you owe, isn't it?
Yeah.
They owe you money. Again, it all goes down to niyat. Niyat is very important in all ibadat, all acts of worship. If the intention is, or the, you know, that they'll pay me. Whether it's this year, next year, they'll pay me.
I mean, if it's 3-4 years past and they're still not arguing.
So again, it's all about your niyat, your heart. Your heart says that's it. He's not going to pay. There's no zakat on it. Now, if they do end up paying, you've got to backdate. If they do end up paying, you've got to backdate. Okay, I'm on slide 19. I'll go through these points. Zakat is due on the value of the stock, market value. When you give zakat on business stock, you give it on market value. Business stock is anything. Look, nowadays you have people who are bakers, you have people who are tailors, you have people who are all kinds of Instagram, salespeople or whatever else. If they've got lots of things they bought, for example, a baker, now they bake cakes. Now they've got some icing flour, they've got some sprinkles, they've got this, that. All of that is business stock. If all of that is added, so either if it's a made product or just, ingredients and things like that, all of that you will be giving zakat on. The only thing you don't give zakat on is machinery. Machinery and tools. Tools, equipment, machinery. So baker's got a very expensive blender. Got very expensive, sieve or I don't know, whatever else they use, right? Or tailor's got very expensive sewing machine. They don't give zakat on that. Sometimes the machinery can be extremely expensive. You don't give zakat on that. Just on the stock itself.
Sellable value or a purchase value?
Market value. Market value, sellable value.
Sellable.
Yeah, not purchase value, sellable value. Because purchase value, you could have bought it for cheaper.
Sellable value have some other cost, like a VAT or...
You don't include VAT. You don't include VAT. VAT is a tax matter which you don't include. Actually, I did look at something about VAT. That question about VAT, I just leave that with me. I did look at VAT. I think it was 2.5% of VAT.
People are selling Amazon. Most products are £2.5 and they're selling for £10.
Yeah.
And they have a stock for £10,000 and they've been selling for £10,000.
It doesn't matter. What matters is what is the market value. If someone's overpricing,
yeah,
that's not what they're going to give zakat on.
It's like a market trend.
If it is market value, if it is the market trend, if it is this is the going rate for that, then you're going to base it off that. Now, obviously, it's very hard to know exactly or precisely, so we're going to average it. Average it to that. But the question on VAT, there's something there whether you give zakat or not. I can't remember. Inshallah, I'll clarify it. Maybe at Tarabi time or something. Or maybe you can ask me, inshallah, another time. Dead stock, which no longer has value, would not be zakatable at that time. Stock which you know is just not worth selling. But there's a difference of opinion here, because I've also read you do give zakat on that. So it's better to err on the side of caution if it's not going to be too difficult, if it's something that a person can afford. If not, then wait till it sells and then give zakat on it. Zakat is necessary on goods that are manufactured in the form of raw material. That's the term I was looking for. Raw material. Raw material. So a person sells clothing items. Now they've got threads and they've got fabric and this and that. All these are raw materials, right? So you give zakat on the raw materials as well as on the final item. There is no zakat on the property or fixtures and fittings of the business. All these type of things, property. You've got business property, business premises. Now my business operates from that premises. There's no zakat on the building itself, right? Zakat is only on the stock. Zakat's only on the stock. Page 20, slide 20. Which assets are zakatable? All these things are basically meats, vegetables, all the stuff we're talking about. If a person is in business and they sell these things, meats, vegetables, salt, flour, chairs, cutlery, sugar, all these things are buildings. This is if a person is buying and selling buildings. Buying and selling buildings in the property trade, they give zakat in them. Cash, zakat is on that. Delivery car, zakat is on that. A delivery car, zakat should not be on that. Oh, sorry, I think he's mixed it all up. I think he's mixed it up here. Yeah, he's mixed it up. Yeah, yeah. Cutlery, there's no zakat on, right? Chairs that you used to sit down on, there's no zakat on that. All these four, there's zakat on it because you're actually selling them or you're making the final product out of them. Sugar, zakat will be on that because you're making your cakes with sugar. Building, the business premises we mentioned, there's no zakat on that. Cash, of course, there is zakat on that. Delivery car, there's no zakat on that, right? There's no zakat on the delivery car. Cash machine, there's no zakat on that. Food packaging, there's no. Actually, if food packaging is part of the item, there is zakat on that. There is zakat on that. Tables and tablecloth, I mean, I'm assuming you're not selling them, it's just, you know, in your business premises, there's no zakat on that. Decorations, no zakat on that. Drinks, if you're selling, yes, zakat on it. Kitchen utensils, if I'm a baker, I use kitchen utensils, no zakat on that. So do we understand the difference, right? Whatever is going to go as part of the final product to the purchaser, to the person buying it, there will be zakat on that. Whatever is not, there's no zakat on it. Right? Things which are used to prepare the item, it's not part of the actual product, there's no zakat on it. Right? Money owed. Money we owe to someone else. Money we owe to someone else, there's no zakat on that, right? If my bank account has £10,000, from those £10,000, I only have £2,000 of my own money. £8,000 I owe to someone else. I'm not going to pay zakat on that £8,000. Also, debts is going to come as well. I will actually deduct the debt from my zakat when it comes to paying zakat. I won't even be, zakat will not even be fard on me, because the debt will take me below the nisab. So, more business assets. Business assets, anything coming to mind, anyone's mind? Harun, future business you want to start, any questions coming to mind? No? Deductibles, things that we're going to deduct. So this is very important, right? Today is my zakat anniversary, I'm paying my zakat. I'm on slide 23. Today is my zakat anniversary, I'm paying my zakat. And now there are certain things I can deduct from my zakat, right? So in a nutshell, the things that I can deduct: personal loans. I owe people money. If I've got money, I can deduct all my loans. So many people, when they just start deducting loans, they go below nisab straight away, because we have a lot of loans. Some people have a lot of debt. So that debt will automatically can possibly take you into the nisab. So you will deduct all of that. Remember, it's not that I have to be giving all this money, but I'm sure I need to give zakat. Do the calculations. After the calculations, if it takes you below the nisab, then you don't have to give zakat. It's a calculation-based process, right? If you calculate and the calculation puts you on top of nisab, then you give zakat. Calculation puts you on bottom. Even if you're driving a nice car and you're living in a nice house and you're doing lots of expensive activities or whatever it is, when you do the calculations, you deduct your loans, you deduct this, you deduct this, you deduct this. If it takes you below nisab, then zakat is not fard on you. If you want to give something, you give it a sadaqah, but it will not be zakat. So what can you deduct? Personal loans. You can deduct unpaid bills. Right now is unpaid bills. For example, today, now, I'm already, credited or in debt of whatever bill is going out this month, gas bill, electricity bill, water bill. And I can deduct that from my zakatable assets. Long-term debts that are to be paid off in installments, such as mortgage payments. Now, when it comes to long-term debts, student loans, mortgages, although of course student loans, because they are repaid on interest, it's a haram contract, it's an impermissible contract. But still, because it's a debt that we owe, right, we will give zakat on what, we can only deduct that amount that we will pay back in 1 year. 1 year. You can deduct that year's amount. Similarly, mortgages, you can deduct the amount that will be that will go towards your mortgage for that 1 year. You don't have to deduct the whole mortgage amount, because nobody will ever give zakat, right? So you only deduct that year's.
You find that amount from your summary.
From your summary, your mortgage statement.
Yeah.
Your mortgage statement, your tuition fee statement, it will tell you how much is going in annually or monthly, how much has gone. So you just deduct that 1 year's. Okay. Non-deductible, things that you can't deduct. Page 24. Things that you can't deduct, future expenses bills you can't deduct. I'm projected to pay this much bills, projected to pay this expense. You can't deduct that. Even if it's a big expense, I'm doing extension, right? It's going to cost £40,000, £50,000. Now, I can't deduct that because it still hasn't happened. Like I said, Hajj fund or whatever else. Now, you know, with these stagnated things, you don't know when it will happen, when it won't happen. You just kept the money ready, you will have to give zakat on it. You will have to give zakat on it. Interest, you don't deduct interest. Interest has no bearing in Sharia. It has no weight in Sharia in the sense that it's not your money. It's just, you're supposed to just throw it in the bin. Haram money is just supposed to be thrown in the bin. But the scholars say just give it to poor people without the intention of reward. Just at least someone benefits. Well, it's not, it's poison. You're not supposed to have it. Any form of haram money, any form of interest, wealth, there's no zakat in it. There's no calculations. It's not even regarded as anything. Income gained from unlawful means, haram income, there's no zakat in it. Again, because haram income is not supposed to, it's not nobody's property. You don't own it. It's not your property. It's not your rizq. That's why we say it's not your rizq as well. Rizq is halal. Rizq is halal. Whatever you're eating from haram is not your rizq. This is beyond that you're pushing the boundaries of haram. Such wealth must be given in charity without intending any reward. Right? Shares and pensions. Anyone have questions about shares and pensions? Go on.
Do you pay zakat on that?
On what? Shares or pensions? Okay, pensions. Let's do the pension one. Right? Okay. Basically, in brief, in general, in summary, you have three types of pensions, right? You have, and this is important that we familiarize ourselves with our pension pot. Is it, what's it called? Defined contribution. So it'll mention defined contribution, where what they will do is they will take your money, they will put a bit of money into it as well, and then they will invest it into some other company. The problem is a lot of these companies that are invested in are haram companies. A lot of the times it's wine companies. It's like what's that wine, big wine one called? Carlsberg and all this type of stuff. They invest into there. So that's why defined contribution scheme, we will say to all Muslims, opt out. It's something that you can opt out of, right? Opt out of it. If it's a defined benefit scheme, but if you have a defined contribution scheme and it's a halal one, it's a Sharia compliant one, right? Might be here on the screen so you can see, inshallah. There we go. If it's a Sharia compliant one, then you will give zakat on 26% of it. 26% of it. So whatever's in your pension pot, right, you will calculate 26% of that. You know what's in your pension pot. You'll get your summaries, right? It will tell you what's in your pension pot. From there, you will calculate 26% of your pension pot, and then you will give 2.5% of that 26%. That's Sharia compliant ones. Now, these proxies which are here are taken from a scholar who's one of the main names in finance nowadays, Muti Faraz Adam from Leicester. So he's kind of got these proxies. But there's another scholar who's also quite advanced in Islamic finance, Ufti Zubair Butt from Bradford. So he just says that it doesn't matter what your pension pot is, as long as you give zakat from 40% of it, it's fine. So to be on the safe side, just give zakat from 40% of it. That's what he says. But these are things, obviously, the scholars are kind of looking into more and more, because they're not, obviously, written in the old books. These are now modern masail. But anyway, Mufti Faraz Adam, he's done a lot of research. He's broken it down into this way. If you've got a direct property fund, so your pension has been invested into a direct property fund, right? In that case, you will give zakat on 15%. That's the proxy. You will give zakat on 15% of your pension. If it's equity funds, mixed asset funds, I don't have a pension, so I don't know exactly how these things work, and I haven't done enough research into it. Right? If it's equity fund, then 27%. So you give 2.5% of 20% of your pension. If it's a mixed asset funds, so your zakat is being used, so your pension is going towards multiple pots basically, then you will give zakat on 50% from your pension. If you're not sure, Mufti Zubair Butt says the best is, if you're not sure, just proxy 40%. Give zakat on 40%. Right? So whatever's in your pension pot, 40% of that, 2.5% of that 40%, you give zakat on. Right, just to be safe. Now, if you have a defined benefit scheme, where the risk and the liability is all entirely on the employer, so that wealth is not even regarded as yours. With a defined contribution, it's partial, it's half-half. So if anything happens to that pot, you're affected and the employer is affected. With defined benefit, although they are taking a percentage of your salary, they will still have to pay that out to you. There's no risk that you suffer. At the end of it, it'll be on the employee, so it's still regarded as the employer's money. It's regarded as the employer's money. So if you have a defined benefit scheme, so you need to research into your own pension schemes, right? And obviously, if there's lots of jargon and you don't understand, then you can kind of bring that jargon and I'll try and make sense of it. I might have to go back with it and do homework. With a defined benefit scheme, you don't have to give zakat on it because it's not yours. You only give zakat on it from the time that you get it going forward. Alright, and obviously it says here bonds fixed interest. Basically, if your pension is going in a pot which is haram, you have to give the whole, it's all impermissible. You have to give zakat on all of it, meaning you cannot be investing in something which is haram anyway. Right? If your money is growing from haram, it's all haram. It doesn't matter. You can't say, maybe the profit is fine, the original thing is haram, it's all haram. So you have to be very, very careful. If you're signing up for pension schemes, you have to be very careful and very certain that. That it is a Sharia compliant pension scheme. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Today, 99% of companies, if you have an employee contribution pension, you can choose to opt into a Sharia compliant pension scheme. Like almost every company offers.
Excellent. MashaAllah, if you can do that, then that's very good, right? That's very good. It's okay?
In terms of shares, not like the actual, so you don't have any investments, you have money.
Yeah, if you've not invested it yet.
No.
You've not invested it yet, you've not bought a share yet. So you'll regard that as part of your total money, you'll add it all together. And if you have invested in shares, you're going to give zakat on the market value of the share. If you've invested in a share, you're going to give zakat on the market value. If it's a share that grows. Some shares, they have dividends, right? Some shares, you don't get the share itself back, the money that you invested for the share, you only get the profits from the dividends. So then you'll only give zakat on those dividends when they come through. Right. So conclusion, we are on, I'm flying through, sorry, I do apologize. If there's any questions, you can always ask, inshallah. Conclusion, if I'm applying, calculating my zakat, page 30, if I'm calculating my zakat, I will add all the gold, silver, cash that I have, I will add any business stock that I bought to sell, add any shares and pensions, the percentages, right, with shares, it's market value. If it's just a share which I bought that share to sell, right? If I bought a share to sell, then the market value of that share. If it's a share which I bought but I can't get back, I've invested in, and I will only receive the dividends that come from the profits, basically, then I will only give the zakat on the dividends when they come through, profits when they come through. Pensions, like we mentioned, percentage. To be on the safe side, if you don't understand your pension pot, just give zakat on 40% of it. That's the safe overall review. I didn't understand the equity stuff. I got which, but I don't know. I don't know much better than that because I don't have a pension. I haven't done enough research into it. Scholars who know better could give you better. But they say as to be on the safe side, a proxy 40% covers it all, inshallah. Minus all the debts that are owed to you. Any debts that you... minus the debts that you owe to others. Sorry. Minus any debts that you owe to others and all the bills and... electricity bills and utilities and all that stuff, then whatever's left over in your pot, now that's the pot that you're going to be giving zakat on, you apply 2.5%. 2.5% of that will go. Okay? So £2.50 for every £100, £25 for every £1,000, and so on and so forth. It's okay, inshallah. It's after that.
You have to pay all the zakat in one go?
You don't have to pay all the zakat in one go. You can break your zakat down, you can give it to different places and different charities and different... sources, but there are some of the important points here. This is important. Masarif, who can you give zakat to? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a list of people that you can give to, but the summary is that it has to go into the hands of the poor people. It can't be used for welfare projects, it can't just be given willy-nilly to different charities and organizations. It's the right of the poor people, and that's why we have to be so careful in choosing or selecting an agent who will distribute zakat for us. He has to be someone that is trustworthy, that will make sure that the zakat is given to the person. If you've given zakat to agent, I trust Askar Bhai, I've given Askar Bhai my zakat. He said, I'll give it here, don't worry. If for some reason the zakat money was lost by him, it will be on me, I will have to give it again. It's on me. It won't be on him. Islamically, nothing will be on him. As long as he didn't lose it on purpose, right? If you lost it, it got destroyed, it got stolen, it will still be on me. So it's very important that when it comes to agents, when it comes to online charities, Ummah Welfare Trust and this and that, many of them are very reliable, but they will take your zakat and they will throw it in their bank account. They might not give it this year, they might not give it next year, they might not give it in 5 years' time, they might use it only when they have to. Now imagine I pass away this year. 5 years, my zakat has not been paid. So that's why, like, Murad Khursab is here, he fundraises and gives zakat to certain eligible people who are there. You can give it to Murad, he will say, I've given you zakat to the right people. Murad Shahsab is at the back collecting zakat funds. He will say, you know what, give it to me, I'll make sure by this date the zakat is gone. So give it to, a person, because many times amongst us we don't know who is eligible to receive zakat, although there are many people who are. And the scholars rather, they say, it is makruh and disliked to send your zakat abroad if there are people entitled in your own towns, in your own cities. Many people are in lots of debt, many people are in lots of situations. If you can ascertain that that person's debt is so severe, he's definitely entitled to receive zakat, even though he's driving a nice car and even though he's living in a house. He's got so much debt, he can actually take zakat. You can give zakat to help him. Obviously, you don't have to say, and this is another thing, when you give zakat, you don't have to say, here, there you go, there's my zakat money. You can just give the money, but you make the intention for zakat. You can even say, here's a gift, but you make the intention for zakat, that's that your zakat is done. Right. Okay. So here he's brought this. If a person has, sometimes a person doesn't have to give zakat, but they can't receive zakat either. They don't have to give zakat. Why would you not have to give zakat? Because you haven't reached the threshold. So you don't have to give zakat. But you also, normally we think if he can't give zakat, it means he can probably take zakat because he's poor. But there's a middle ground, which is you don't have to give zakat because you've not reached the threshold, but you're not entitled to receive zakat because you've got lots of assets and things which are above and beyond your needs. And from there, you know, the ulama will say things like, even like televisions and games and lots of clothing items and few cars and this and that. So there's assets above and beyond their needs that if you were to calculate the market value of those assets, it would take them above zakat threshold. So they don't have to give zakat because there's no zakat in the car he's driving. There's no zakat in the house he's living in. There's no zakat in the clothes he's wearing. But because those assets combined will take him above the zakat threshold, he can't receive zakat.
What about his house?
If it's one house that he's living in, then that's not above and beyond your needs, that's his house.
Yeah.
If he's got two houses, then that's above and beyond his needs. Yeah. So if he's even in a big house, that's still his needs. He's using the rooms, he's whatever, that's his house. So that's still, is not regarded above and beyond, he's got multiple of one thing. But all entertainment and gadgets and all that stuff, ulama say, these will all be calculated as above and beyond needs, because you don't need them. Big 65-inch TVs and all the rest of it, you don't need them, right? Yeah. No, you don't give zakat on anything. You don't give zakat on your clothes. Zakat is only on gold and silver and business stock. You don't give zakat on clothes, right? They were only talking about whether a person can receive zakat. Can a person receive zakat? Now, if a person, his wealth is below the threshold and he doesn't have money above and beyond his, he doesn't have lots of assets and things above and beyond his needs, he can receive zakat. Right? He could be your neighbor, he could be your friend, he could be a family member. There are people that you can't give zakat to who are they will come. So these are what is regarded as necessary assets, slide 35. Clothes which a person is using, not one set, two sets, because he's going to change one set, two sets, even three sets possibly. But if he's got 10 sets, now many of them are going to be above and beyond. Or he's got lots of fancy, or it's a lady, she's got lots of fancy dress, event outfits and all that stuff which they have, mashallah, which are very, we'll take them above the zakat threshold, just the value of the outfits themselves. So all these things will be taken into consideration. Household goods, utensils, all this stuff we're not going to calculate. Why are we talking about this? We're talking about when it comes to me giving zakat to someone, what do I need to see? Has that person reached the zakat nisab threshold? No, he hasn't. Next question, does that person that I want to give my zakat to have lots of things above and beyond their needs? No, they don't, I can give zakat to them. Yes, they do, I can't give zakat to them. Do you understand? Chalo. And this is very important, what's called tamliq in Arabic tamliq. You've got to make the poor person the owner of the zakat. The poor person has to become the owner of zakat. You've got to, so you can't basically give zakat to community projects, welfare projects, people build wells, people build schools, people build, or give to hospitals. Now if there's a hospital saying, yeah, we take zakat, someone asked me this question in the morning actually after Fajr. He said, I sponsor orphans, and I sponsor poor, very a village in Pakistan where the poor children, they attend school. It's just a normal school. The school fees, we sponsor that with zakat money. Now, if the laws are being followed properly, you give that zakat money to that poor child or to the poor child's parents who then pay the fees for the poor child, that's fine. But if you just gave it to the school itself, now, as long as the school has become... You need to be very careful. If the school has become the wakil or the representative of the poor child, by saying to the poor child, look, money is coming for you, I am taking it and I'm going to use it for your needs, okay? You know, it's a very clear cut, because zakat is that child's, not the school's. If the school takes it, now they're paying wages with it, they can't be doing that. They're paying this and they're doing that, they're doing this. And it happens, even in madrasas, that's why we have to be very careful. A lot of madrasa chandas happen, and the scholars in India especially, they used to be, I've read, they would mention a lot about how zakat funds sadly are taken by madrasas and are not distributed properly. At the end of the day, it's not about pointing fingers at people. It's about me, when I give my zakat, I need to hand and heart say, Alhamdulillah, it's gone to the right place. I need to do that. So try and make someone the owner of it. Don't give it to an organization that says, yeah, we do this. Try and get receipts. Get receipts. Okay, have you given it? I need receipts. Have you given it to the person who's deserving of it? Then it's peace of mind. I know where it's gone. Right? So can zakat be used, given to a masjid, madrasa, orphanage? No. You can't give it to masjid, masjid can't take zakat. Madrasas can't take zakat unless they give it to poor zakat eligible students who study there and they make them the owner of that. But if a madrasa is taking zakat money and saying, yeah, we've got lots of students, we've got some really poor ones, or we've got some not poor ones, we just make food for everybody, your zakat is not done. It's got to go only to the poor. Orphanages, yes, if there's zakat eligible and the money is going only to them. Can zakat be used to fulfill the debts of a deceased person? Someone's passed away. That's a good question. Someone's passed away, now they've got lots of debts, can I give zakat money to them? No, because tamliq can only happen when the person is alive. You can only make the owner, you can only make someone the owner of that wealth if they're alive. Once they're dead, they're not able to own anything. Whatever they owned now belongs to somebody else. Right? So even if they were poor, now they passed away, you can't give zakat to them. If their relatives are poor, you can give it to them who are alive, but you can't. You can't use zakat money to pay for their debts or for their burial expenses or anything like that. How do you go about the situation? That situation, if their relatives can't afford to pay for their father's burial costs, what those relatives could do is they could go into debt themselves, borrow money to pay for the cost. Now when they go into debt and they go below nisab threshold, now what can you do? Now you can give them zakat money. Now you can give them zakat. So that's a way around. That's a way around it.
And they are not able to pay their debts for the father's debt, then can you give it to them?
No, you can't, because it's not their debt to pay, it's their father's debt.
It's father's debt.
It's their father's debt, so you can't give it to them.
Still alive, debt is still alive.
No, the debt's, but the debt doesn't pass on to that person. The debt is that Allah will ask that person about his debt, not his child. So if the child says, I want to pay my father's debt, so he borrows lots of money, pays it. Now he goes into debt by doing so, you can give zakat to him now. So that's the way around it.
So he collects the zakat to pay his father.
No zakat. He borrows money, normal money. He can't take zakat. He can't say, oh, give me zakat to pay my father's debt. He can't do that.
He also be under threshold.
If he's under the threshold, then that's for himself. Now you give him zakat money for himself, but you can't give him zakat money for his dad.
Alright, so they can be good right there.
Yeah. You understand this scenario?
Yeah.
Right? Can zakat be used to dig a well?
No.
If a well is dug in the middle of a village, now there might be some zakat eligible people who are drinking from the poor people. There might be some rich people who are walking past drinking from there. Zakat has to go solely, 100% of the zakat wealth has to go into the hands of the poor. No one else is able to use even a penny from there. If they do, your zakat is not done. Right? Can zakat be given to a hospital? Only if they stipulate what? That part, I know in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, there are certain hospitals which have zakat fund, because a lot of, they're not NHS funded, right? So they do take and say, we use it for poor people who can't afford their medication, we will use from the zakat funds. It's fine. If you can ascertain that, verify that, that's fine. But just generally giving to a hospital, no. Right?
What about like a more modern example, like a food bank?
Okay. Food bank, only Muslims are going to be using food bank. Non-Muslims as well, right? Zakat cannot be given to non-Muslims. Non-Muslims, you can give sadaqah, charity, but you can't give zakat. Zakat is the right of a Muslim. These other people, slide 38, people, others that you cannot give zakat to, child, grandchild, so basically anyone below you, anyone above you. Parents, mom and dad, grandparents, great-grandparents, so on. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so on. You can give to brothers and the only person, other person that you can't give to is your spouse. Husband can't give zakat to his wife, wife can't give zakat to her husband. And similarly, a Hashimi, a Banu Hashim, or a Sayyid, anyone from a Sayyid family, from the progeny of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or from the children of Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ja'far, Sayyidina Aqil, Sayyidina Harith ibn Adnutib. So five Sahaba, of five people's names are mentioned. Anyone's from their progeny, zakat cannot be given to them. You can't give zakat to someone who does not have the nisab of zakat but has goods beyond their essential needs which reach the value of nisab. I've explained that, right? They've got other goods which if you add the market value, it goes above the nisab, above and beyond the needs. Further information and frequently asked questions. Mixture of metals. I've talked about mixture of metals, right? If it's less than 50%, you give zakat on just the gold. If it's above 50%, gold is above 50%, then you give or silver is above 50%, you give zakat on the whole thing. Zakat should be distributed as soon as possible. It needs to be paid on jewellery every year, right? So people who got lots of gold, someone is telling me 2,000, 3,000 pounds, they've got to give on zakat. 4,000 pounds, oh Allah protect. But you've got to give that on zakat, but you've got to give it in every single year, so mashallah, you need to have your money ready. Further clarifications, if a person has a few houses with no intention to sell, there's no zakat, right? Loads of homes, you can have a whole portfolio, it doesn't matter. Rental income, zakat only on rental income. I think I've covered a lot of this. I have kept some money aside for my children's weddings, do I need to pay zakat on it? Yes, anything in the future you're planning to do, you've got to give zakat on that pot. And is intention necessary? Yes, you've got to have the intention that I'm giving my zakat. Got to have the intention. That's why people can't give zakat for someone else. Husband gives zakat on behalf of wife, wife has no clue. You ask the wife, I don't know, zakat, what's zakat? And the husband says, well, I've been giving you zakat last 5 years, last 10 years, what do you mean you don't know what's going on? And she says, well, you never said a word about zakat to me. He said, well, I was being kind, I was just giving you zakat without you realizing. Her zakat is not paid. Now, if that zakat has already been used by the poor person, the zakat's not done, he's got to give it all over again.
Let's say it again. If husband Chala. Is paying zakat on behalf of wife.
Wife has to know, she has to authorize, she has to approve.
She knows that.
Yeah. But if she didn't know, if she didn't know and husband is giving zakat, every year he's giving zakat, she doesn't know what the word zakat means because husband is such a nice guy, he just gives zakat without his wife even thinking. Her zakat is not done. If, imagine I've got a poor person here, Zaid. I give Zaid my wife's zakat. Zaid, yeah, here you go. Wife doesn't know yet. Now, I go off, Zaid still hasn't used that money. Now then I think, you know what, I didn't tell my wife I've given her zakat money yet. I've given you a zakat money, do you approve? Yes, I approve. She's approved now that she's made the intention now. Zakat money is still with Zaid. Her zakat's done. If the zakat money is already used, she didn't even know the zakat was given. Zakat's not done. She has to know my zakat is going out. When it's going to go out today, tomorrow, whatever, my zakat, my husband is going to pay. That's my zakat money. He's going to pay. That, she has to be aware of that. He has to make the intention. As soon as he spends £1. Right, because that's part of it. Remember, zakat is not just about half and quarter. Zakat is that total amount that you've got to take out. You calculate everything, you take out one figure, that figure is your zakat. So if someone uses half of it for zakat projects, or someone uses 90% of it in the right place and 10% of it in the wrong place, your zakat in its entirety is not done. In its entirety. So you've got to make sure your entirety of your zakat pot goes to the right people. Inshallah, inshallah. I think we'll stop there. Any questions? Go on, Zakir.
Anyone who pays on where you don't give zakat on, and Quran said following after, then there's a question mark.
Let me go back. This one.
Yeah.
Etc. Phone, laptops, etc. You know, like other necessary devices that you need. Obviously, every year new stuff comes out, so you put a question mark there. So you can just fill in the gaps. Okay, inshallah. JazakAllah khairan. Allah Ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Any questions from upstairs, Baji? Any questions from upstairs, you can just message them down. Sure, inshallah, we'll stop this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Very complicated nowadays.